You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
So glad you're with us today, because we are continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called The Blessed Life. We've been talking about embracing this life of blessing, living the kind of life that God can bless. Let me just recap where we've been. In week one, we talked about having a generous heart. We talked about how one of the keys to living a blessed life is to have a generous heart, to cultivate a generous heart. Last week, we talked about the blessed test. If you missed that message, go check it out on the podcast. You need to hear it, because we talked about passing this test. Here's the question. Will I love and trust money, or will I love and trust God? So if you want to pass the blessed test, you need to listen to that message. Today, we're going to talk about how to live a blessed life by embracing another area, another subject that Jesus taught on. We're going to talk about the subject of servanthood. Servanthood. And we're going to discover the heart for serving, because this is really about something that God wants to do in our hearts. The heart of serving. I believe God wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to cultivate in us a heart for serving, because it's one of the keys to embracing the blessed life. And we're going to look at a passage that can help us discover the heart behind serving. If there's this heart change that needs to happen first, and we want to learn some more about that. So we're going to look at John's account of the Last Supper, John chapter 13. You know, each of the Gospels is an account of Jesus's life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So John the Beloved gives his account of Jesus's life, and this is his version of the Last Supper. This is the very last night that Jesus had with his disciples. He was about to be betrayed and arrested. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be, you know, resurrect and ascend back to the Father. This is the very end of his earthly ministry. His days with his disciples were coming to an end. And so we're going to look at this, John chapter 13. This was a very special moment as Jesus shares this final time with his disciples from John chapter 13. Are you ready? Here we go. John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father." As we said, he was about to be arrested that night, and he would be crucified not long after this. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." This is talking about his disciples. Look at verse 2. "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus." So this is Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would betray Jesus that very night. Skip to verse 4. It says, "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." So here's Jesus. He gets down in the middle of this meal, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. He wraps a towel around his waist and begins to wash their feet. Look at this. Verse 6, it says, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.'" In just a few days, when I go to the cross, you're going to understand the true meaning of sacrifice, the true meaning of what I'm showing to you. Verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Come on, you got to love Peter. He just blurts out whatever comes into his mind. Then skip down a couple of verses to verse 12. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus says, don't forget, I'm your Lord. I'm your master. No disciple is greater than his master. And I'm showing you, I'm demonstrating for you how you're to treat each other, what your purpose is about. And it's in serving. Never forget what I've done for you. And look at verse 17 again. Look at this. He says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." See, Jesus separates the difference between knowing and doing. So many times we focus on knowing the word of God, studying the Word of God, knowing the truth of God's Word. And that's important. But Jesus says, it's not just enough to know what God's Word says. You got to do it. He says, now that you know these things, you will be what? Say it with me. You will be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed. The blessing of God will come upon your life. So if you want to live a blessed life, I think most of us would say we want to live a blessed life. Anybody with me? You want to embrace all that God has for you. You want to live this blessed life. If that's you, Jesus says one of the keys to embracing this kind of life that God can entrust with his blessing is the key to this is the path of servanthood. You will be blessed if you do them. Now, let's just make a couple observations here, okay? First of all, it was proper in Jesus's time to wash your feet before dinner. See, a person would bathe before they went to a nice dinner like this last supper that Jesus had with his disciples. But what happened is, as people walked through the streets of like Jerusalem, people had sandals and they went barefoot and their feet would get full of the dirt and the grime and the dust of the streets of the city. So when you came into a place like this to have dinner, usually there was a servant there with a towel and a basin who was there to wash your feet. And this was very kind of menial, kind of the lowest of all tasks that a servant would do, okay? So every one of the disciples that day when they walked in, that night when they walked in, they walked past a towel and a basin. And every one of them thought it was somebody else's job to wash the disciples' feet. They all thought it was the servant's job. They thought it was somebody else's job. Maybe Peter walked in and he thought, oh, it's my brother Andrew's job to wash everybody's feet. Or maybe it's Thomas's job. Come on, he's doubting Thomas. He's always doubting anyway. Maybe it's some less important disciple like Thaddeus. Who even knows who the heck Thaddeus is? He should wash everybody's feet. All the disciples thought it was somebody else's job. In fact, the disciples tell us what was going on that very, Gospels tell us what was going on that very night. There was a lot of arguing and jealousy and ego and competition going on here because in Luke chapter 22, it tells us that a dispute broke out amongst them of who was going to be the greatest. The disciples were literally fighting about who was going to be the greatest. You know, some of them were kind of one-upping each other. Like, you think you're close to Jesus, but me and Jesus, we're like this. Like, we are boys. We are close. They were fighting about this. Jesus understood what he walked right into the middle of. And notice the timing. Notice the timing here. This is the very last meal Jesus is going to share with his disciples. He could have chose to remind them of anything. He could have chose to teach them anything, but he reminds them of the importance of serving, and he chooses to model serving. He gets down, washes their feet, demonstrates it physically so that they would never forget it. He knew he was about to go to the cross. He knew that his earthly ministry was coming to an end, and this is what he chose to leave them with, this lesson on serving. You know, I was thinking about this week and just reflecting on this whole idea of serving this week. And, you know, I'm so thankful for parents who demonstrated this to me growing up, who modeled this for me and my brothers growing up. My parents have been in ministry. They're pastors and going on almost 50 years now. And they taught us that the greatest thing we could do with our lives is give away our whole lives to serving God and serving other people. And I just want to tell you, I'm always more blessed when I serve others. Really. I mean, when I bless someone, oftentimes we think we're going to do something for someone else. You know this if you've ever had the opportunity to serve someone. You end up being more blessed when you get to serve someone else. I always feel more like Jesus than anything else when I serve someone. And a lot of times I don't even feel like doing it at first, but the blessing comes as we're obedient. I'll tell you, people think that, you know, standing up here and preaching is the most godly thing. Yes, this is my greatest privilege. This is my most sacred obligation. But honestly, the truth is I feel more like Jesus when I have the opportunity to serve someone. When I go to visit someone in the hospital, that's when I feel more like Jesus. And can I tell you this? I've had many people serve me, not only serve our church, but serve me personally, especially this past year. And whenever someone serves me, they always inspire me. They always remind me of Jesus. I'm always humble to be served by someone because that person really to me is modeling the message to me. I text someone just this week who served me in a very special way this week. And I said, you know what? You've lived this message well. I'm going to preach it on Sunday, but thank you for embodying this message because you inspired me to be more like Jesus. Here's the key idea this morning, church. Jesus demonstrated that serving is at the heart of embracing the blessed life. I want you to put that in your notes today. See, this is so counterintuitive because we live in a culture, in a world that thinks that the blessed life, the really blessed life are those who make it to the top and they have others waiting on them. Come on. The person who can be wealthy enough to have servants and employees, the boss who makes it to the top and has a whole bunch of people under them. But Jesus turned this whole idea upside down. His kingdom is an upside down kingdom. And he says that the true blessed life, the true life in his kingdom that's blessed, it's a life of servanthood. That's where the blessing is. If you want the blessing of God, you got to embrace this heart of servanthood. Are you with me this morning? And so here's my question to you this morning. And I want you to answer it honestly. I want you to have a kind of a prayerful moment. honest moment between you and God today. How's your heart to serve? How's your heart to serve? Have you cultivated a heart of servanthood? When you think about servanthood, does it feel like a chore? Does it feel like a burden? Does it feel like something that someone else should do? How's your heart to serve? Because I believe this is something that God wants to do in us. I believe this is a work that God wants to do in our hearts to make us more like Jesus. Come on, how many of you know God is the greatest servant the world has ever seen? Jesus is the greatest servant the world has ever seen. And I believe that God wants to get the heart of Jesus on the inside of us. He wants to change us from the inside out. And so I want us to take a closer look at this story. And we're going to look at three traits of a heart to serve. I want to invite you to take some notes. Take out your phone. If you don't have the Redemption app, you need to get that from our website. On the Redemption app, there's a spot where you can take some notes. And I want you to write down these three traits of a heart to serve. Are you ready? Here's the first one. A heart to serve has a willingness to get involved. Has a willingness to get involved. Look at verse 4. It says, he, Jesus, got up from the meal. Jesus was sitting down at the table, right? He understood the situation. He knew all the disciples had walked in past the basin and the towel. He knew everybody's feet were dirty. He knew exactly what they had been talking about, what they had been bickering about before he came in. He understood the situation. He saw the need, and he didn't just sit at the table. He got up from the meal. He got up, and he sprung into action. He sprung into action, right? He understood the situation. And he did something about it. You know, so many times we often hear about a need, right? Somebody's going through a difficult time. There's a financial need. Somebody needs prayer. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs help with something. And what do we say? Oh, I'm going to pray for you. Doesn't it sound spiritual? Oh, I'll pray for you. And it would be good if we actually did it. How many of you know there's power in prayer? There's power in prayer. It would be good if you actually prayed for them. But so many times we kind of say that, and there's a time to pray for somebody, but there's also a time to spring into action and do something when you can do something. Sometimes somebody needs you to actually do something for them. They need you to help meet the need. They need you to help, you know, take care of them financially, to encourage them, to do something for them. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying you can fix everybody's problems. How many of you have discovered that? I'm not saying you can be Captain America and you can solve everybody's problems, all right? I have to be careful with that. As a pastor, I can get sucked in to try to help everybody. And if I do that, I'm going to end up burning out. I'm going to end up in the mental institution. I'm not going to be doing any of y'all any good. So I've got to raise up some leaders to help me serve, right? I've got to raise up leaders around me to help me serve the congregation. So listen, the point is not that you can solve everybody's problems, but there are times when God is leading us to do something and to spring into action. Aren't you thankful for friends and family and church family and people who spring into action when you need them? Are you with me? Anybody thankful for friends like that? Yeah. You know, many of you know that just a few weeks ago, my youngest son, Nicholas, my five-year-old Nicholas, broke his arm. He was at a party, fell off the monkey bars, and I was driving back from a pastor's meeting in Philadelphia, and Amy called me. We had to figure out what to do, and we knew we were in for a long night in the ER. And so, you know, we don't have family here. We don't have blood relatives here. Our church family is our family. And so I'm so thankful that we were able to text a few friends and we had church family saying, hey, pastor, what do you need from us? And I just want to brag on Justin and Danielle. Many of you know Justin's one of our trustees, been with us from day one. And Danielle, who serves in our kids ministry with Redemption Kids, the middle school kids. And Justin and Danny came over and they were in for a long night. They ended up sleeping on the couch at our house, watching our older boys while we were at the ER. Come on, aren't you thankful for friends like that? And I text Justin the next day and said, yeah, we ought to give them a hand. And I said, thank you. The next day, and Justin said, don't even mention it. That's what family does for each other. I'm thankful for friends who spring into action. You know, this past year, we bought a house that needed a lot of work, and I'm so thankful for church family who sprung into action. So many people, I won't even start naming names, who came out to our house and gave us a hand and said, pastor, what can we do to serve? See, God is calling us to put this message of love into action. You know, we talk so much about how God has called us to change the world, right? God has called us to show love to the world. He wants to work through us. Sometimes we gotta put this message into action. We have to actually do something. Many of you know that I'm originally from the New Orleans area. That's where I grew up. And Amy and I, we were on staff with my dad for a few years. And one of our favorite seasons of ministry took place during Hurricane Katrina back in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina devastated our city. And we were in suburban New Orleans, so we didn't have the standing water like many of you saw in the news. But we had power lines down and trees down on people's houses. We had some flooding. But we were one of the first areas that people went to as they were waiting to get back into their homes because people's homes were underwater. We were overwhelmed with like 50,000 refugees. And so we ended up doing hurricane relief for like a month straight. It was crazy. It was hot. We didn't have power at the church for the first 2 weeks. We actually slept at the church, and people came, and we just served people. We did hurricane relief. We turned the fellowship hall into like a makeshift thrift store. We had all kind of items in there. We had groceries, and people would pull up. It was like a drive-thru. We're like, don't even get out of your car. We'd load them with groceries. We'd give people water. If people needed diapers, like, what size diapers do you need? What kind of formula do you need? If people needed clothes, they would come in, and we would give clothes. And we were serving people who were broken. We were serving people who lost everything, like their houses were underwater. And I'll tell you, it was hot and we were tired. We did this all day, every day. We slept on like tables and we slept on floors at the church. But can I tell you, it was the most beautiful thing. It was one of our most favorite times in ministry because we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus to pray for people, to encourage people, to love on broken people. And for Amy and I still say to this day, it was our privilege. It was one of the greatest times of ministry in our whole lives, just to show people the love of Jesus. And I can tell you, people were open to it. They were open to it. You know, we have an opportunity to do that next Sunday, don't we? At Serve Day. We have an opportunity to just get out and love in our community. Just go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Come on, just go out and just love on people. Just give some people some groceries and pack some backpacks and wash some windows and plant some gardens. This is who we're called to be. This is what we're called to do, to go out and put love into action. And so there's a time to sit at the table and there's a time to get up from the table and actually do something. And we want to be obedient to God's voice in those times when he's calling us to be the one to be the answer to somebody's need. Are you with me? That's who we're called to be. All right, here's the second thing. We're talking about cultivating a heart to serve. We're talking about the traits of a heart to serve. Here's the second thing. I want you to write this down. A heart to serve goes low to bring others up. A heart to serve goes low to bring others up. See, Jesus, he wrapped a towel around his waist. And what did he do? He stooped down, right? He had to get low to go down and wipe the dirt and the dust and the grime of the streets of Jerusalem off of the feet of his disciples. He demonstrated what humility looked like when he got down to wash the disciples' feet. See, Jesus knew that most of the disciples would actually run away. He knew he was washing the very feet that would desert him during his time of greatest need. You know, you remember Peter like famously denied Jesus, right? And when Jesus was arrested, many of the disciples, they scattered and they departed. They deserted Jesus during his time of need. And here he was washing their feet. But Jesus also knew that these very feet would one day take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Come on, Jesus saw past their weakness. Jesus saw past their failure. Jesus saw past their fear and their infighting and their missing the point. And he saw their full redemptive potential. He looked past them, their brokenness. He looked past their failure. Isn't that a great trait to have? Isn't that a great trait to have, especially in a leader, to be somebody who sees people beyond where they are right now, who sees people's full potential. I remember the famous saying that says, treat a man as he is, right? Treat a person as they are and they will remain as they are. But treat a person as they could be and they will become who they should be. It's a powerful statement, right? Treat someone as they could be, and they will become the very person that they're meant to be. And that's what Jesus did for the disciple. Isn't it great to know that that's what he's calling us to do for others, to see people through the lens of grace, to see people through the lens of mercy and forgiveness, and to see people as God sees them, and to see everything that God wants for their lives. A couple of years ago, I was on staff at a church upstate in the Buffalo area where Amy's from, and we were associate pastors up there for 6 years before we came downstate. And we lived in a parsonage on campus. There were two parsonages, two houses where pastoral staff lived. And there was a children's pastor who lived next to us, and she called us one night. It was a rainy night. I think it was a Saturday night before church, and she called us and said there was a random guy who showed up at her door in the rain who needed help, and he was homeless, and she was a little bit freaked out, so she called me to come over. So I remember going over, and it was dark and rainy, and you know, some of my street smarts kind of kicked in. I didn't know quite what to expect. Like, who is this sketchy guy just showing up at church? And so I ended up getting over there. And here was this guy. He was soaking wet. He had been out in the rain. He was hungry, didn't have a place to stay. And so I took him to go get something to eat. We went through the drive-in, and I didn't know what to do with him. So we ended up back at my office over at the church building, and we sat and talked. And I said, tell me your story, man. Like, how did you get into this situation? And he said, well, I was living with my sister, and then things were going well, but I have a drug problem and I relapsed, and she kicked me out of the house, and I don't have anywhere to go. And so I ended up out here tonight just hungry and soaking wet. And I was like, well, what do you do for a living? And he's like, I'm a construction worker. I'm a carpenter. I can fix anything. I said, let me see your hands. He opened up his hands. He had three rows of calluses, and I knew this guy was telling the truth. And to be honest with you, I could spot him from a mile away because my dad always has this kind of guy working with him around the church. I call him his projects. He's always got his project guy, some guy who's struggling, trying to get on his feet, usually dealing with drugs and alcohol. My dad's got him working with him around the church. It's kind of my dad's little informal, you know, rehab program. And these guys can fix anything. They can do anything. I knew exactly, you know, who this guy was. He said, Pastor, I can fix anything. And I believed him, because my dad's always had people like that around. And so I kind of gave him a little speech. You know, here I am. I'm the pastor, right? I've kind of got it all together. I'm not the guy sleeping out in the rain tonight. And so I kind of talked to him about some of the decisions he had made and that kind of thing. And so, you know, when I got through with my little mini sermon, I felt the Holy Spirit say to him, great, you gave him a sermon. Now give him dignity. You gave him a handout. You gave him a little sermon. Now give him dignity. Because I realized that here's a guy who needed somebody to speak life into him. And you know what I began to do? I began to speak words of encouragement and life to him. I said to him, man, one day you're going to get out of this situation. You're not always going to be homeless. You're not always going to be in dire straits like this. One day you're going to get fully recovered. And you're going to, I believe you can fix anything. And I believe one day you're going to have your own business and you're going to have people working for you. And I believe one day you're going to get totally set free. You're going to get totally clean. You're going to be recovered from your addiction. And one day you're going to help other people. Like God's going to use your story. And one day, just like I'm helping you right now, you're going to help somebody else. You're going to help someone else who's broken, who's homeless, who doesn't know what to do. And tears begin to form in his eyes, right? Because he needed somebody to speak some words of life into him. And I want to tell you today that often it takes us stooping down into somebody else's situation so that we can let them know there's hope and there's a new beginning. Come on, how many of you know sometimes we got to stoop down. Sometimes we got to get low. We got to understand where somebody else is coming from so that we can speak hope into them. We can speak life into them. We can help them know there's a new beginning. Isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did for us? Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He was willing to humble himself, to go to the cross so that we can have the opportunity for a new beginning. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. He said this, in your relationship with one another, this is how you ought to treat each other. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He could have done that, but look at this verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Somebody say servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Somebody say humbled himself. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow, every tongue confess, right? Jesus Christ is Lord. This is what Jesus did for us. Jesus didn't take advantage of who he was, the Son of God. What did he do? He emptied himself. He left the majesty of heaven. How many of you know it was just a little bit humbling for Jesus, the Son of God, right? Who reigned and ruled in eternity with God the Father, to leave the majesty of heaven, to come down as a human, to be born as a human being, born of a virgin, but came into this world as a baby, as a human being. And what did he do? He made himself a servant. He emptied himself. He emptied himself and came as in the form of a servant, made himself nothing. The scripture says that Jesus is God with us. He's Emmanuel, right? God with us. He's not a God up there. He's not just some lofty God that we can't know, but he's God who came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who reached down to us, walked among us, walked in our shoes. And what did he do? He made himself vulnerable. He made himself vulnerable. He took on the form of a servant and he went low so that he could raise us up. Come on, he came to this earth and he got down into the mess of our brokenness. He got down into the mess of our shame and our sin and our brokenness and our past. And he went to the cross and he gave us a hand down so that he could lift us up. He went low. He's the God who comes down to us, who goes low so that he could lift us to heights that we could never reach in our own. That's what he did for us. That's who Jesus is, right? He's the God who comes down to us. He went low to lift us high. And so when we have the opportunity to serve someone, we don't serve someone just so we can feel good about ourselves. It does feel good to serve though, doesn't it? We don't serve someone just so we can give someone a handout. No, we serve someone to give them dignity. We serve someone because we have purpose, and our purpose is to do for others what Jesus did for us, to lift somebody's spirits, to lift somebody's head, to restore their dignity, to help them know that they have hope, to help them know that they can have a new beginning, just like Jesus gave us a new beginning. Come on, aren't you thankful that Jesus went low so he could lift us high? He could lift us to places that we could have never reached on our own. That's what he did for you. He looked past your brokenness. He looked past your sinfulness. He looked past your failures, and he saw your full redemptive potential. And that's what we do when we serve others. We serve them into who they can be in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, somebody? Y'all are just a little bit quiet this morning. I'm just saying. Here's the third thing, okay? We're talking about the traits of a heart to serve. How many of you want to have a heart to serve? How many of you want to have the heart of Jesus on the inside of you? How many of you want to embrace this blessed life? You want to live a life of blessing, God's blessing upon your life? Then we got to develop this heart to serve. Here's the third thing. The third thing is, a heart to serve has a willingness to get messy to make a difference. A willingness to get messy to make a difference. Every now and then you got to get your hands dirty. See, Jesus, he washes the disciples' feet. You know, he's got this towel wrapped around him. And essentially, he was handing them a towel and saying, this represents what I'm going to give you to change the world. This represents what I'm going to give you to go out and change the world. It's not about position. It's not about who's the greatest. It's not about you being served. It's not about competition. No, it's about you serving. It's about you going low to bring others up. That's what he said to his disciples. And in his words, his example, it echoes throughout the ages, right? 2,000 years later, we have the same call. We have the same charge, the same commission. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, he said, I confer on you a kingdom. And what did he do when he conferred on his disciples a kingdom? He gave them the towel. He's like, here's what you need. Here's what you need to flourish in my kingdom. This is how you're going to change the world. And he gave them a towel. And Peter protested. He was scandalized by this. Like, this was a role reserved for the lowest servants, for the lowest servant in the house to wash someone's feet. That's why Peter was scandalized by this. He couldn't believe Jesus would do something like this. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't understand, but you're going to understand. In just a few days, when I go to the cross, you're going to understand that I came to serve, to give my life away, and that it's self-sacrificial love that's going to change the world. Peter, you're going to get this. And that's what this towel represents. You know, when I got ordained a few years ago, at my ordination, they prayed over us, and they charged us to preach the gospel, and they gave us a towel. They didn't give us a Rolex. They didn't give us the keys to a Mercedes. That would have been nice. They gave us a towel, and it was a cheap towel. In fact, I'm pretty sure they stole it from Holiday Inn. They gave us a towel to remind us that the calling on our lives is to serve, right? That as a shepherd, as a pastor, as a priest, the calling on my life is to serve others. That's what it's all about, right? It's about serving others. And Jesus, he was willing to get messy. He was willing to get down and wipe off the dirt and the grime of the disciples' feet. And aren't you thankful that Jesus was willing to get messy in our lives? Come on. He met you where you were. He met you in your need. He met you in your brokenness. He met you in your sinfulness. He met you in the midst of your most sketchy decisions. And come on, he didn't make you jump through a bunch of hoops to come to him, but he ran out to meet you, and he had a towel in his hand, and he washed your feet. He washed you, and he made you clean. Come on. He met you there. He wasn't afraid to get his hands a little bit messy in your life. You ought to give thanks for that. That's what Jesus did for us. Sometimes we got to be willing to get messy. If we're going to be like Jesus, right? If we're going to be like our master, none of us is greater than our master. If we're going to be like him, we got to be willing to get our hands dirty sometimes. We got to be willing to serve. We got to be willing to go out of our way. We got to be willing to be inconvenienced every now and then. How many of you have discovered that loving others and serving others is a little bit inconvenient? Anybody discovered this? You're going to discover it next Sunday. Come on, somebody. Have you seen the weather forecast? It's going to be a little bit hot next week. Yeah, serving isn't always convenient. You know, a few years ago, I was preaching at our church upstate, and I did a message on serving. It was a pretty good message, by the way. Let me just pat myself on the back. I thought it was a really good message. I got to the end of my message, and I thought, that was a pretty good message. Come on, Jeremy, I'm proud of you. You did a good job. And I was kind of feeling really good and kind of high and mighty, and I was getting ready to go out to lunch with my pastor, and this couple came up to me and said, Pastor, thank you so much for the message. I was like, oh, you're welcome. And they were like, actually, we need a ride to the bus station downtown. Can you take us? And all of the wind was sucked out of my sails. And I was like, but I'm getting ready to go out to a nice lunch with my pastor. Like, he's taking me out to eat. I was like, do you have any friends or family that can take you? And they were like, no, you know, I don't even remember how they ended up in our town. They were like hitchhiking or something. They were in a really, you know, bad situation. And they're like, Pastor, like, we would really appreciate it if you could take us to to the bus station. I'm like, well, here we go. I got to put the message into practice. It sounded really good when I was preaching it. It sounded so nice. But now we're going to put it into action. So, all right, I'll take you all the way downtown to the bus station, downtown Buffalo. And then, of course, we get in the car and they're like, actually, Pastor, we're hungry. Would you mind taking us to the drive-thru? I'm like, yeah, I'll take you to get something to eat. And we get to the drive-thru, like, and by the way, we don't have any money, so if you don't mind treating us. And of course, they knew exactly what they wanted. They were picky, right? I don't want any secret sauce in my Big Mac. I want extra cheese. Like, they just picky, knew exactly what they wanted. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I get their food, right? But at this point in time, I've completely lost my salvation. I'm like, I'm a sinner. I'm a complete hypocrite. I wasn't even happy, like, here's your Big Mac, take it. I probably, like, threw it in the back of the car, here, eat it. So we get downtown to the bus station. We get to the bus station, of course, Pastor, we don't have tickets for the bus. Could you take us to get tickets? I had to take him to get tickets for the bus. And this story would be wonderful. This would be great, right? Wouldn't it be nice? We'd all have a moment right now if I got to the end of the story and I was like, and they came to me tear-filled and they thanked me. Pastor, thank you so much for being an example of Jesus to us. Thank you for putting the message into practice. You touched our lives. Wouldn't it be amazing if the story ended that way? Well, it didn't end that way. They got on the bus and they threw me the deuces so fast it wasn't even funny. They didn't look back. They didn't thank me. We didn't have this big moment. It was like they were entitled to what I did for them, right? Let me just tell you something, church. Sometimes serving people, it's inconvenient. Sometimes you got to be willing to get your hands dirty. I learned a little bit of a lesson that day of being like Jesus. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. You got to get your hands messy. It's not always convenient to love people. It's not always convenient to serve people. But aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't inconvenienced by you? Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't inconvenienced by your need, by what you needed, but he wrapped a towel around his waist and he wiped off the dirt and the grime of your sin? He went to the cross, lowered himself, humbled himself, poured out his life, gave everything for you on the cross. That was an inconvenience, wasn't it? But it changed your life, changed my life. I want to tell you, self-sacrificial love, it's really the only thing that's ever changed the world. Jesus going to the cross, it changed your life if you're a follower of Christ. It changed my life. It turned the world upside down. What if Christians were known for being the most loving, generous, servant-oriented people on the planet? Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, if you went out on the street today and you asked 10 people, what do you think about Christians? What do you think about the church? You'd get a lot of different answers, wouldn't you? If you asked 10 different people, you'd get some good answers, you'd get some bad answers though, right? Let me give you an earful of what I think about the church. But wouldn't it be amazing if people were like, I'm not even quite sure what those Christians believe. But here's one thing, they're the most loving people on the planet. Come on, wouldn't it be amazing if you went out in Portchester and you asked some people, what do you think about Christians? And they were like, you know what, those Christians over at Redemption, a bunch of crazy people having church in a movie theater. You know, I went to a matinee one Sunday morning and I was going to see the latest movie with my kids, and I walked past theater two, and I heard people clapping, singing. Come on, I don't know what those bunch of crazy people were doing up in there, but here's one thing I know. Those people, they love our community. They're out serving. They're the people you can go to if you have a need. They're the people who are making a difference in our community. They're loving and serving. You know, and this next Sunday, I saw them out planting gardens and loving on people. Come on, wouldn't that be amazing? That's who we're called to be, church. That's who we're called to be. Jesus set this example with his own life. Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life away as a ransom for many. Come on, if there was anybody who could expect to be served, it was Jesus. If there was anybody who could expect to have people wait on him, it was the Son of God. And Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to be a servant, to serve and to give my life away. And I want to tell you, he's calling us to do the same thing. He called his disciples to do that. And his call, it echoes out all throughout the ages to his church today. He's calling you and me to serve. And this is how we find the blessed life. Jesus says, you want to know the blessed life? Then take up the towel. This is who we're called to be, church. This is who we are. And can I just tell you that the towel is a gift? The towel feels like a burden sometimes. It's inconvenient sometimes. We don't like it. I don't always like it. But can I tell you that Jesus, he gave us a gift when he offered us this towel, because this is the one thing that can save us from our self-centeredness. This is the one thing that can save us from our selfishness. This is the one thing that can save us from making life all about us. Jesus didn't just come to save you from your sins. He came to save you from making your life all about you. And he gives you a towel that can set you free, to give you a greater purpose. That's the blessed life. It's to live a purpose that's greater than just you. It's to live for a purpose that goes beyond you. It's a life of servanthood. Come on, we need this. You know, the truth is, here's the truth about Serve Day. We're not gonna change the whole world in one day. We're gonna even change Portchester in one day. Here's the secret. I'm going to let you know the secret. We need serve day. Serve day is for us. Come on, serve day is for us. It's about reminding us who we're called to be. We need this more than the people we're going to go and serve. Oh, we're going to touch some people. Oh, we're going to love on some people. I hope you have an opportunity to pray with somebody next week. I hope you have an opportunity to hug somebody. I hope some family comes to receive a meal from you and you can bless them. You can smile at them. I hope you give a gift card to somebody who needs to be cheered up and you're like an angel to them because they needed somebody to walk in their life just to bless them. I hope as you're out picking up some trash, you inspire somebody. But here's the truth. The reality is we're the ones who are blessed. We're the ones who are blessed. Now, let me just remind you this, right? Serving isn't always convenient. Next week, we're going to be out. It might be hot. You might be, you know, picking up trash, or you might be in some garden and you might think to yourself, I could be home working on my own garden. There's weeds growing on my own garden. I'm over here working in this garden out here, getting dirt under my nails. And I just had a nail job. I want to remind you, it's not about you. No attitudes next week. I want to remind you that when you have a moment like that, you might do something nice for somebody. They might not even thank you. They might not be super appreciative. They might even be a little bit entitled. But when you have a moment and you start to get frustrated, I want to remind you, this is your opportunity to be like Jesus, who was inconvenienced for you and for me. So serving is about you getting outside of yourself. Can I tell you that I had a moment last night praying over this message, a moment of conviction. I was in tears for about a half an hour last night because I thought about so many people in my life who have served me well this past year. So many people who have come into my life, not just served our church, but served me personally. And I was inspired and convicted by their example. And I had a moment last night where I said, God, remind me that it's not about me. God, remind me that it's not about me having some great church and some big church and me having recognition. God, remind me that you called me to be a servant. You put a towel in my hand. And I had a moment last night where I said, God, sign me up again. God, sign me up for the altar call before I ever preach it to my church. God, sign me up again to be a servant. God, to be used by you to touch people who you love. And I had a little heart change last night. Jesus is calling you and me to take up the towel. Now, let me help you make this practical for just a moment, lest we have a little inspirational moment in church and we walk out and we don't do anything about it. Let me give you some practical ideas real quick, okay? Three different places, three different spheres around you. Here's the first one. Who's in your personal life that you need to serve? In your personal life. We think about changing the world. Mother Teresa said, you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Go home and start with the people who are closest to you, your family. If you're a son or a daughter, your parents, your friends. If you're married, your spouse. Come on, so many times we think about what we can get from our spouse. We expect more from them than they can possibly give to us. It's just part of being married. But we got to have these little wake-up calls every now and then. We're called to serve each other. We're called to serve each other. If you're a parent, how can you serve your kids? How can you teach them this, but how can you model this to them? Who is God calling you to serve? Your family, your friends, people around you. In this church, if you call Redemption home, if this is your church family, have you found your place to serve yet? We talk about this all the time here because this is just part of who we are. This is who we're called to be as a church. Have you found your team? Have you found your place on the dream team yet? What are you waiting for? You're missing out. This is a blessing to serve. And so many people hang back and they don't serve because they think, oh my God, I'm going to sign my life away. And my last church, I was burnt out serving all the time. No. It's a joy to serve in this church. Like we rotate, we have fun. You walk in the morning, you see our dream team members. They're out there smiling to me. I'm like, what got into these people? What kind of drugs did they give them? Yeah, you want some of that. I promise you. They're here, they're smiling, they're having a good time together. Our production and worship team, they're here setting the stage for you. There's people checking your kids into the kids ministry, in the nursery, in the preschool, in elementary. Come on, we ought to give it up for our dream team. Thank you, dream team, for serving so well. And here's why they're happy to do it. Here's why you see them smiling, because they've discovered it's a blessing to serve. Right, dream team? It's a blessing to serve. What are you waiting for? Go fill out that Connect card today. Open up the church app. Find your team. Find your little tribe. I'm telling you, what's going to happen is you're going to start serving and you're going to find your place in our church and you're going to realize it's a blessing to give back. You're going to feel more a part of this thing like ever before. You're going to know that God's working through you to set the stage for people to come into this church every Sunday and to come to know Jesus. Come on, get in the game. Here's the third thing. We have an opportunity next week to go out into our community. Get signed up today. Get on a team. Let's go love on our community. This is not a Sunday next week to miss out or to skip out. Come be here. Some of you, you need to do this. Like you need to activate some purpose in your life. Sometimes you got to step out and do something. And we're giving you a perfect opportunity to get signed up. Come on, let's go love on our community. Let's go show the love of Jesus in a very tangible way. Let's take up our towel. Hey, stand with me. We're going to pray together. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together, but I want you to stand because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. And this is our opportunity to say, God, I receive the towel from you. This life of servanthood. Because God, I want to know a truly blessed life. And so Lord, today I recognize that there's a blessing in serving and I want to be more like you. Come on, if that's you, just bow your head. Maybe you want to lift your hands today. Maybe some of you, that's a new thing for you. Some of you are very comfortable with that, but some of you want to just lift your hand as a way of saying, Jesus, I receive the towel from you. Just lift your palms like this as an act of worship, of submission and humility to say, Jesus, I receive the towel from you today. Come on, pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your great love, for your purpose over our lives. God, we thank you that you're a good God, a loving God. We thank you that you emptied the riches of heaven when you sent your son Jesus for us. Jesus, you served us well. We thank you that you went low so that we could go high. You look past our failure. You look past our sin. You look past our shame and our brokenness. And you went to the cross and you wiped off the dirt and the grime of our sinfulness. And you've called us to follow you, to take up your purposes. You've conferred a kingdom on us and you offer us the towel today. And we take up our towel, Jesus, to be your followers, to recognize that it's not all about us, but it's about how we can serve you and serve others. And so we say, Jesus, put your heart in us. Come on, somebody needs to pray that today. Jesus, put your heart in me. Make me more like you. Because you're the greatest servant the world has ever seen. Jesus, make me more like you. Father, do it in your people today. Make us those kind of people and that kind of church. In Jesus' name, if you receive it into your life, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.